All righty. Good afternoon. It is 2:05. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm the chair of the Public Service Commission. We are gathered for a work session on case number PU-21-381, Northern States Power Company's natural gas rate increase application. Also attending are Commissioners Randy Christman and Sherry Haugenhoffert. So we also have one staff member here, Rob Frank, and we're waiting on two other staff members who should be here shortly. We had a meeting that ran a little bit late just prior to this this work session. But just to get kind of reacclimated, so we've had one work session on this. The hearing was held.
June 1st.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. And then the staff put together a memo for the first one and another memo for this this work session. And the memos were this last memo was pretty helpful, kind of digging more into the details. Rob, would you be able to get us started first of all, I'm going to see, do we have any opening comments, Randy?
I do not.
How about you, Sherry? Okay. So then I think if it's okay, I'll have Rob sort of walk through the memo. And I wanted to have a bit of a conversation since really we're down to a couple issues as it relates to this this case. And they're all along the lines of the class cost of service and the you know, basically the rate design. Couple different methodologies to choose from, and they're pretty well laid out in the memo. So, Rob, if you want to get started,
yeah,
just
thank
kind
you.
Of walking through the memo, that'd be great.
Before he does, though, and you know, maybe if I'm wrong about this, you can address it as you're going through at the right time. Is there any, does anyone have really any objection to the revenue requirement or the ROE? Or are those kind of pretty well settled upon already?
I kind of thought we settled on those the last time. But
that was
the impression from
and
the last work session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pamela, maybe you could go tell those guys that we started to. Oh, there they are. Never
yeah,
mind.
So
that was fast, Pamela.
I know I'm here about that.
Thank you.
I thought it was pretty much agreed upon, so.
Okay,
but
I just wanted to confirm that.
If you want to clarify.
We're just getting started. Jack Hsu is now in the room as well. So Rob was just going to go through the memo.
Yeah, so I think we had really three issues that were still standing from the work session that we needed to explore. Two issues dealing with the classification or of the distribution mains. One of them is we're using NSP is using a minimum systems classification for the distribution main, and there was counter arguments from the consultant saying that they should be using have that not be customer related classified as being not classified as being customer related at all, and so you'd use a design day for the whole main classification, if that makes sense. This minimum system finds that minimum system amount and will classify that to the customers. And so, and then if it's customer related, it's just going to be allocated according to the number of customers that are there. And so the issue was is that that would over, compared to the other way of classifying, is over allocate to the residential because there's more residential customers and whatnot.
And is there a set term? It seems like
maybe I'm messing it up.
For the most part, it's referring to as minimum systems. Like, that's a term for that way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other alternative, Mr. Pavlovic's recommendation, it's described in various ways. Is there a specific way as we discuss this? I think we should use this thing instead of minimum system.
Well, I think Pavlovich would say that the main should always be classified as demand related cost.
What's the name of that? That formula.
Strategy or formula, or what's that?
I just
never know what to call it.
I don't know if that has a name necessarily. It could.
Pavlovic theory.
No, I think if you in normal rate design, that's I don't know if it has a specific term. It's just really just a matter of classification, full classification demand.
He would argue that if customer related demand would need to vary with the number of customers, something that varies according to customer that you can trace back to that. This is Pavlovich. And he would say that the distribution mains don't fall under that category. And so they should be classified fully as demand. And then he would recommend using a design day, which is the coldest reasonable day, to then have that be parsed out and be allocated to the different classes, residential or industrial. I think the main idea behind using a minimum system is that you can make the argument that in order to serve customers, you have to extend the mains in order to get to them. So mm-hmm. there's this minimum that you would need to make in order to extend it to serve them, and that should be customer related because it's, I guess, dependent upon customers in the sense that it would need to exist in order to serve them.
Right.
That's the theory behind that, if that makes sense.
And that is what we have used for...
And NSP used that.
20 years or something.
They used that for their last rate case as well as this one. So they didn't really change their methodology that much at all. Just tweaked it a little.
And I think other North Dakota gas utilities have been done that way too, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Is that pretty typical?
That's correct.
Okay.
And then, if that makes sense, the other issue is the average and peak demand allocation. I think the struggle here is that the criticism stems from the fact that you have to do what Pavlovich said from the very beginning. If you classify everything as demand for the mains, if that's fully demand related, then it would make most sense to use a design day, which is what
sure.
he recommends. But if you're doing NSP's way, where you are classifying a portion of the mains as customer related, well, then you classify the rest as demand, and their argument is to use an average and peak demand for that. And then they get into the argument that as far as that would help capture the customers that are curtailed during the design day method, essentially. So from my viewpoint, which I'm not sure if I understand it fully, but it doesn't make sense to mix those two together necessarily.
Sure.
If that. So I think NSP's method makes sense from altogether from what they did. And then Pavlovich's criticism is the fact it is that an average would over-allocate, using an average peak, would allocate more to the industrial and commercial sectors versus what a design day using his method would.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But you have to assume that kind of under that argument that the mains are being allocated in the way he's suggesting.
I think so, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's contingent upon that.
Yeah.
Rob, I think just for the context of the commissioners, not the classification issue that we discussed, but the demand allocator, how large of an issue do you think that is in this case? Like value-wise.
Oh, value-wise?
Right. I mean, do you believe it is a large quantitative value, or do you think it's fairly small relative to the other issues?
Well, I think it would be probably relatively pretty small compared to the other issues. I don't have the quantification.
Sure, not a direct value. Just in general.
Yeah,
in general. It'd be good to have a sense of that.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd say so.
Okay, so let's stop there for now and talk about, I'm just interested in hearing my colleagues' thoughts on those issues, if they're comfortable. I guess the first question is on the minimum system classification. The big question is, do we stay with what NSP has currently, or do we start evolving to the new methodology that Pavlovic is advocating?
It would take additional convincing for me to change what we've been doing. I just haven't heard anything persuasive enough to convince me to do that.
Change direction.
I think in...
Go ahead.
I mean, Alvin, I thought it may be helpful just to point out, too, as well, that Mr. Pavlovic, he was called as advocacy staff. He was hired by advocacy staff, but ultimately not even called as a witness for the purposes of furthering their case. Staff, and he doesn't actually, doesn't actually carry the staff's position.
Right.
On that for advocacy staffs. So he was ultimately kind of brought in throughout the proceeding for advisement, but it also wasn't ARP's position as well. They did have a general statements on these items, but he was not ultimately their consultant either, even though he was called as a witness. Their testimony largely, even though they did briefly address those issues, as in that they liked what Mr. Pavlovic was saying, if you look at their testimony, was really oriented heavily towards not the classification allocation, but towards the rate design portion of the case.
And I think that probably explains a lot of why I feel the way I do on the subject. If you were to argue strenuously, you know, all the negative arguments against the minimum systems style, I'd struggle to defend it real well. But there hasn't been a good case made for how well the alternative is going to work. And so, you know, when something is the best alternative that we've heard, I just can't be persuaded at that point to shift away from it based on kind of a theory that's laid out that, heck, I can't even identify what to call it, but much less have really good testimony and evidence to why that is going to be a superior way of doing this rate case.
The one other thing to bring into context as well along with that, and I know I might have had individual conversations with you, and I believe I've had this conversation with Rob as well, is if you are going to move away from that minimum system cost, which can be done, you almost have to do with endpoint in mind, as in this is where we'd like to go, and then move there gradually over multiple cases, I think, if you're going to try to prevent rate shock to customers who quite honestly took a look at the application and didn't intervene in the case based upon what they saw, maybe large industrial users and so forth. If you want to move with a sense of gradualism, it'd probably take multiple rate cases to move in a direction rather than a reflexive switch from one theory to the other.
That's a good point. I wasn't thinking of that.
Okay. Sherry, how about you?
Yeah, I wasn't convinced to change. And I recall when I tried to question him in the hearing. We just...
So Mr. Pavlovic?
Yeah. He wasn't convincing, and in fact, I think he kind of quote-unquote kind of tried to put me in my place on some of my theory. So I would support what Mr. Crispin said, to stay with the minimum, stay with NSP's methodology.
All right. Okay, I agree also. I think that the minimum system classification makes sense. Like, I can follow it, like Bob was saying.
Sure.
You have to get a pipe to get service, but, you know, the way it's, the formula that's used, you know, like the minimum system to get the gas to the customer and basing it all off of that, and I just, yeah, it follows. It's logical. In my mind, and then you can't mix them, the two, without making things go really funky to one class or the other. So I think I'm comfortable with staying with the allocation the way it is. So I guess we've finalized that piece. Then it comes down to rate design. You guys heard me talk at the last work session about the rate design, and heard my openness to looking at a volumetric charge again. And I know that both of you were kind of going the other direction on that, but I've looked at this, you know, and thought about it more, and really, you know, I asked myself the question, kind of comes down to, do we, like, why would you do it? Why would you go with a volumetric charge? And the compelling reason to add a volumetric charge would be to give customers more control over their bill. That's the reason for it. It's the reason why other states do it. That's the reason why some states have a very small basic service charge, I believe, so that they give the customers you know, a potential larger share over their bill. It has downsides. There are, you know, it's not as stable. The swings can be larger in the winter into the summer, because when you're using more in the winter already, you're also adding a volumetric charge. So you're adding more to the usage component of the bill. So it's going to be higher bills in the winter months and when you're already using a lot. So there are disadvantages in that regard. But at the same time, it does give customers a larger control over their bill versus we set the basic service charge, and if they want service, they pay that plus their usage, period. There's no choice but to pay whatever basic service charge we set. So if we continue down this path and we charge $22.25 today, and then they come in for a rate case and we love this methodology, and we add another $5 and another $5 and another $10, we're going to be looking at $45, $50 down the road, because we know that gas rate cases are going to increase. The infrastructure is old and it's going to need to be replaced. That high of a basic service charge just to get service to me is not sustainable. I just don't think that's the right direction to go. So I have, looked at what are the advantages to using the basic service charge, and I've been convinced on these in the past. Takes away the company likes it because it gives them certainty, and supposedly the certainty results in more favorable treatment from Wall Street. They weren't able to show us that. There's no evidence that that actually is true. So, to me, that I can't count on that. They say it, they can't prove it. So, to me, that's just a nice talking point. The other piece that they talk a lot about is that it is takes away the disincentive that exists for them to promote conservation. Again, we asked about that. They showed basically nothing that they've done to promote conservation. So to me, is that even reasonable that we expect them to do that? A company to promote lower usage of their product? I wonder if that's even an expectation that we could likely have, but it's something that they tout that they can do, but yet they couldn't prove that they've done it. So that to me is also one that it's not convincing. That's not a reason to choose this methodology. So really you're left with, I'm probably missing some, so you guys can fill me in, the stability piece of it for the customers. And that is an important component. But in my mind, we're weighing it too heavily. We're starting to move into the direction of weighing things too heavily on the basic service charges. And I am in favor of going along with the AARP's position of 1848 and adding back a volumetric charge in this case for the revenue requirements on this case. So it would be the 1848 and whatever volumetric charge is needed to gain the revenue requirement.
If you did see in the memo, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, yep. There is a range as well that was provided along with this, and to just give a general concept of between 1848 and the no volumetric charge chart on the very bottom of the memorandum, which I can, that's just to get an idea. These aren't the hard numbers.
And those charges were for the whole year, not per month.
That's
correct. I was confused by that. So
I apologize.
The one other thing that I've been thinking a lot about and haven't been able to rectify is, why are we an outlier in this? Why does North Dakota, one of the only states that goes with the pretty much straight fixed variable, putting all the quote unquote fixed charges into the basic service charge? And Michigan $11, Minnesota $9, Wisconsin $14, Colorado $12, $21. I don't know what South Dakota uses. But I mean, those are northern states. They're states similar to us in terms of usage and weather patterns. So are they all just uninformed that they're still using the volumetric charge and misguided? Or are, you know, and it's not, this isn't a new thing. It's been around for a number of years. So I don't know. That's where I'm at.
So that's quite a few topics.
It's all on rate design.
Right. I probably should have been writing them down. First of all, on their ability to attract capital and this being helpful, I don't know what they would approve that with. And we do a rate case, and they're out shopping for capital, and it is what it is. And so when this is the tariff that they have, how do they know what would have been the result with a different tariff? And so I don't know how they would really show that, but it seems to me that additional stability would always be helpful in attracting investment. So I don't know how you quantify it or prove it, but it seems logical that it would be helpful.
Wouldn't you be able to show that we had a lower ROE on average than all these other places that don't do this over time? Wouldn't that be an obvious outcome if we were more appealing?
How can you guarantee that if you don't have the stability?
We would have a lower ROE. We would have the benefit of them not needing as high of an ROE to be attractive, because they've got this other benefit that's attractive to the investors.
But we kind of decide that a little bit separately.
But over time, over time it will show.
I feel like consistent over time, we've been pretty generous with ROEs.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. We could.
That's my point. Like, what are our customers getting for these things that we're giving?
I'd be more amenable to an argument that the ROE is too high than that we should switch to a higher volumetric charge and a lower base charge.
That would have been palatable also, because that would have saved a lot of money. But again, the question comes back to, do we want to give customers more opportunity to control their bill or not?
Why don't you say they don't have it now?
They do. This is just more. This would be, you can't argue, they would have more. There's a volumetric charge here. So they
do it now. I guess I don't understand that point. When we have the opportunity, every customer has the opportunity to perform right now. So we're going to persuade them more, saying we're not raising your fixed rate, but we're doing a volumetric, so it's on you now. It's on them now.
They have control over a large portion of their bill now with the usage being a significant part of their rate. But you can't argue that this gives them more. Because
I don't see it, Julie.
Just numbers. Like, they have this fixed charge.
They have
charge.
The opportunity now to control.
Okay, but if the fixed charge is $25, they have to pay that.
Right.
Now the fixed charge is $18, and then this volumetric charge is based on their usage. They control that. So that's just a higher amount.
I see your point, but you're not going to persuade me that they don't have the control now. All of us have our control now to control our costs. No.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. This just gives them more control.
I mean, I don't agree with where you're going with it, but I do think, too, that if the volumetric charge is a little higher, that makes a little more incentive to...
I agree. So we're just putting... I just think it's...
Go without heat.
Yeah. I just used a weak point.
You think what?
It's a weak point. Oh. When they have the control now.
I would say, and I agree with you probably at this point with as requested, that it's a very minor change. I mean, Trask, if you take a look at what I provide you on a monthly basis, it doesn't change a lot. But if you look at it again from a larger philosophical standpoint, if you're trying to move to a larger volumetric or lower volumetric, higher volumetric, so for eventually with a sense of gradualism down towards like 15 to 12, then at some point in time it does have a much more discernible impact on the I guess on a customer choice and as an incentive, but so I guess from the macro level as opposed to this.
We agree in the overall picture of it, but I'm just saying, why do we have to look at it at this point in time when they've had that control all along? I just think they have. I control what I spend. I control what I use at home. I have it now. So.
You do.
Yep.
Just over time, if this gives them more control, and then as we have additional rate cases, if we add them onto the volumetric charge instead of the basic service charge, they get more and more control. So it's just Jack said, it's a philosophical, it's a philosophical issue.
Yep, it is.
And the other,
they might end up with less control though, is, and I have to say, in researching something else, I was looking at some old comments made by a previous commissioner and then on other topics, but it came back to one that happened to be on a gas rate case where he was making the point of how North Dakota has been one of the national leaders in decoupling and the importance of that from a conservation standpoint. And we did discuss it either in our previous work session or in the rate case. I really don't remember. They haven't done a lot to promote conservation like the electric side of the same company. But when pushed into it like the electric side has been, then they have. And it is the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the potential is there. Now, when we start shifting more toward volumetric and less toward the base charge, just as however much you think that the small incremental move makes as far as the customer's ability to control their bill, there's also going the other way, all that small incremental more reason for the company to avoid helping people to conserve or even encourage them to use more. And so
true.
I think
I just haven't seen that play out, but
But I think the logic is there going both ways.
True. I would say that if you guys, which I sense you're going to, so, and I expected that. Quite honestly, I didn't expect to convince either one of you. But
you usually do.
If if you go the route that of adding all of this into the basic service charge, I do think that there should be a requirement included in the order that would require the company to do some promotions of conservation and quantify them for us on a regular basis, or keep track of the usage over time. Or there should, if that's one of the main reasons for doing this, then that should be quantified. So that should be included in the order at a bare minimum for if this is going through as proposed in the settlement.
I have no problem with that. I just hope that as a consumer and as a business, that that's always a result or an end means, is how can we best work together, be conservative. And I sit and think of different things like smart meters and all the technology that's out there to aid in consumers on controlling things in their home. And either we embrace it or we don't. That's where I'm at.
Well, I do think one thing that they could do more of, and I don't get a bunch of Excel bills like I do MDU bills, so I'm making some assumptions. But I see what MDU does to promote the LIHEAP program, and I don't think it's good enough. And so now, to make my assumption that Excel is, not necessarily doing it the same way, but making a similar amount of effort, I would say that it's just woefully inadequate. And I don't know exactly what they should be doing. Frankly, I think we need to start doing more. Our comments made recently about being forthright with the people on energy things, and I think this is one of them. We if we assign these things according to the cost creation, it should be the monthly. Actually, if we're going to be real accurate about it, I think the monthly residential rates should be higher than what is being proposed in the settlement, not lower. I think we still have some subsidization between classes here. And so by even doing that, I think we're not being completely forthright with them of what the cost is to serve them. And then we have, very real and compelling testimony of a lot of people who struggle to pay these bills. And, with the theory that, if they had more control on the volumetric side of it, if the volumetric side was more of their bill, they would be able to control that to some extent. But then I see a chart that shows the number of households that we have in North Dakota that qualify for LIHEAP. Just a small fraction of them do it. Why? How are, and I assume that's a lot of the same people, why aren't they taking advantage of that? It's sitting there waiting to help them. And so if they're unwilling to use the LIHEAP program to save money on their utility bills, do we really think that just a little higher volumetric charge is going to cause them to turn their thermostat down further or put in a baseboard system so they can heat their house up good at night when the variable rate thing with electricity? Or it seems like if you know about the LIHEAP program and don't use it, I'm not sure that this would convince you to do something about your bill either. But the bottom line is, I think, between the companies and us, when I see the numbers of people that qualify for LIHEAP and don't do it, it tells me all of us aren't doing enough. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you on that.
I want to bring up something. I think you bring up a very good point, Randy, is that to what you brought up, Julie, about making it in the order, but what would we expect? What are we going to do to measure that for the companies to bring forth education and awareness on conservation? What's going to, and I'm just leaving it open, you brought up a good point, like I want to say, is that what's the acceptable level on the companies? You know, you bring up ownership on programs that are available. What are we going to expect? And I just...
Jack, did you have some thoughts on that? Mm-hmm. On how you would, some measure, because we talked a little bit about this, how you'd measure it or what sort of a barometer you put in.
You know, I do have some thoughts, but I think probably a good basis point would be to have them report on what they are doing and how they would quantify it, because then we'd be able to set our own benchmarks after that fact, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. differentiate what we sure. feel the direction should go, rather than just coming out carte blanche,
yeah.
having...
declaring it.
Right, we could subsequently open up a separate proceeding just on... you know, conservation, if we're reviewing things and we feel that this is something we need to address in the future.
Yeah. But in the order, you could include something that required them to report what they're doing and suggest a standard.
Right.
I think it's a really good idea, and I guess I'm curious whether if we include something firm in that, if that would maybe get us to a unanimous decision on this. I will say this in all seriousness, you know.
But it would be good for you guys.
The compelling argument that AARP made has had me really thinking about this a lot. And like I say, pointing at myself too, what have I done to get more people who aren't, you know, high income to help them? And, you know, I don't know through NARUC whether we can learn anything of what maybe some other states are requiring or just what they've heard from their utility companies. But also the utility companies communicate too. Boy, they sure know when somebody has a new idea to go more green.
I'll
hear about that in a hurry. They should be exploring what other, especially northern tier states that where cold is a factor, are doing to promote what I laid out or other conservation measures or things like that with gas. Lots of conservation measures with electricity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't know, and I think we can all in this game end up finding ways to do that. Maybe AARP too. Maybe they know some things in other states that have worked.
I like the idea is to find out what they are doing and then quantify it. We might be able to identify some gaps or whatever, but I think, you know, just working on a local basis, I can tell you there's a lot of entities out there that know of a lot of resources and programs like that. And I think it's why aren't they applying, I don't know. I'm not going to second guess why they're not, but I can tell you local entities from food banks to church groups to organizations to utility companies have a list because they want to help the customers. Jack, I think your proposal is right. To find out what they're doing and then quantify it.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Do you have anything, Rob?
So in terms of the order, Jack, do you want to kind of walk through any of it?
Sure. You know, I really don't have too much to walk through for the most part. I just actually created this so that you'd have an opportunity to conceptualize and visualize what we're working on to the end game. I could tell you there are already some additional changes that need to be made in here that as I was writing it, I was thinking about it. And also, I wasn't sure exactly where the three of you would end up on a number of topics. So now that I know, it'll be easier for me to focus writing the remainder of the order in that direction. But as it's currently drafted, it accepts the settlement for the revenue requirement. The settled one with no objection and the subsequent one on the rate design, it actually accepts that one as well. But again, if there's a disagreement, which it doesn't sound like there is, of where this is going to go, we can also change that one as well.
Well, it sounds like if we just get, I don't know what number it would be, another addition, that they need to come in and clarify what they're doing to help people promote conservation and potentially do more.
Sure.
Maybe that does get us all the way.
I'm probably not. I just feel like that it's time to, with the way energy prices are going and the frustration that customers have, I like the idea of stepping back and saying, okay, we're going to give you an additional component of control over your bill. And I know it's a small amount now, and I do recognize some of the downsides because that's something that, you know, everyone needs to be talking about as well, that it does create potentially more volatility for customers that they need to be aware of and mitigate however they can with balanced billing and all of that. But I just think that, yeah, it's a good time to give customers an additional piece of control. And if we move forward with future rate cases down the road and use this methodology, then that component of control becomes larger and more meaningful. So
what I'm hearing is that, at least from two, that we will probably proceed with an order fairly similar to what I have right here with an additional wording provision regarding, reporting and metrics for conservation methods that they're currently employing that we can subsequently review and possibly take action on in the future if need be. In the alternative, there will be Julie, I can work with you as well to write a separate order or a dissent, depending on how
sure.
You would like to proceed with that.
Can you think of were you done with that? I kind of interrupted. I thought you paused.
There was only one other thing that I was going to go back and kind of just briefly bring into the full context too, just to make sure it was on the, even though I'm not saying this is to going to change your mind, it isn't intended to change your mind by any means, just so that as we had the discussion, the full argument was brought out that ARP did discuss when they were talking about one argument where they have in favor of the straight fixed variable rate is that balanced, that balancing throughout the year. They did bring up the point that there is existing balanced billing out there with a customer to choose from that aspect. And regarding the capital, the ability to track capital, I can't fully speak to this as well, but we are a smaller portion of the entirety of the system. So when you're talking about one aspect that they're reviewing about when determining whether to provide capital or so forth, it's a small portion of a small portion of the broader company. And so to the extent that is a huge impact, I think it's probably not negligible. Probably cumulatively part of it could make an impact, but on an individual basis, I think it's unlikely.
Okay.
And I had the one change that I specifically requested. You're mindful of that one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be able to get together another draft within the next week, a little more comprehensive and a little clearer.
Okay. All right, anything else?
Is there a way to legally, to words, to make it a little stronger than that they just report on what they're doing as far as ways to either encourage conservation or to just help people that struggle to pay their bills, that, you know, this requires them to take all reasonable measures, or I don't know, since we haven't quantified what those things would be, but is there something a little stronger than just reporting back to us what they're doing?
You could, but I tend not, of course, it's my option, draft ordering provisions that are difficult to enforce. So from that standpoint, I wouldn't write something with a, tend to be more vague and ambiguous. That's why I like the idea, and generally when I advise you guys, we get the information, we find the metrics, and then we take subsequent action based upon that. But if you would like to, we could see if we can.
If you can think of something,
we can find some language that may.
You know how powerful, strongly worded letters are.
Sure.
And this is an order.
but I mean that there I was joking, but no, I'm serious.
No.
If this is what we're going to approve, I don't want them to think, well, we just got to show them our bill stuffer that we do a couple times a year. That.
What's
I
our intent?
I think almost nobody
and
reads.
I think that's what you're...
But if they are aware, and through a little more research, we're able to become aware of some real opportunities to either promote what I talked about or some other thing that is helpful to people, that they know, we darn well expect them to do that, not just ignore it because it's inconvenient.
Well, I'm going to have to say, what's going to be the that intent of our statement? What do we want it to be? And I see you, I mean, I'm hearing both of you, and you want to have some substance to it, so.
Well, I expect the
action.
I expect them to vigorously promote both assistance programs that are out for people who are struggling with their bills, as well as conservation measures that are available to gas customers.
And their conservation efforts, too. As a company, I mean...
Well, their argument is that by decoupling this, they are free and able to promote conservation, which they wouldn't want to do if they had to count on volumetric charges. So show us how you're doing that.
Right.
To make sure I'm clear, they do have average billing for customers?
Balanced billing, yes.
Yep, balanced billing.
Okay, well, another interesting meeting from an interesting day. So unless anybody else has more to add for the discussion, I think this work session is concluded. Thanks, everybody.
Direction.
And thanks for the good memos, you guys. That was helpful.
It really was.